My live stream this morning. We're glad y'all are here this morning. You're just as much a part of this family, this congregation, as those sitting in these pews. And so we thank you for tuning in this morning to listen to God's word. If you have your Bibles, be turning to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible and like to have a loaner today, or if you just want a gift, we'll give you one. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. These men will get you one and give it to you. I'd like everybody to have a Bible for this reason. Most of the people who go to this church know this, but I want you, all my visitors, to know it as well. You need to not trust in what comes out from behind the pulpit. Too many churches are trusting the guy behind the pulpit, and he don't know any more than they do. Amen. The only way you can know if I'm telling you the truth is if you have a Bible to reference it by. Amen. So I encourage all of our members to, I saw that. We encourage all of our members to always have a Bible on hand. Can I get a check mark? Yes. Amen. That was my mystery word I had to draw last night at Pictionary. I drew what you see now, me behind the pulpit, and then a little deal up here with a cloud, and I didn't know what else to do. I just put a check in there, and everybody going, what? Finally, the pastor's wife said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I didn't know what else to do. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. You know, this past week, we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, as we do in this body every year. And part of our celebration was giving gifts to those we love. Amen. How many of you got something special for Christmas? Amen. Man, I did too. Praise God. Each year the gifts we give may vary. But most of the time we try to give gifts that we believe our loved ones will need. Amen. And if they don't need it, it shows up in the next white elephant after Christmas party. Praise God. How many know that God is also a gift giver? How many know every gift that comes from above is precious and good? Amen? And it's always what we need. Amen. So this past week, I was actually seeking the Lord on what He would have me teach this morning. I'm not one of these end-of-the-year prophets that goes around prophesying over everybody and prophesying you're going to become a millionaire and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. If you give more money, then more money will come to you. That's hogwash. You got to be a doer of the word. Not in just giving, but in living. Amen? So this past week when I was asking God and seeking God on what He would have me teach, He said, brother, her son, actually, he said, son, nothing's ever changed, hadn't changed. He said, tell my people what they need, me and my, that all they need is me and my word. Amen? That's their greatest need. So I said, okay, Father, so the title of today's message is Man's Greatest Need for 2024. Man's Greatest Need for 2024. You see, man's greatest need in this life has never changed. Man's greatest need is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we heard that in a lot in the songs this morning, praise God. And what's very unfortunate in this day and time is we have believers that are truly saved and on their way to heaven, yet they do not have a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. And God wants you to have a close-knit, intimate relationship with Him. It is available. How many of you know that? It's available to all of us, not just pastors, not just those that serve in the ministry, but all peoples. Amen? But here's the thing. A close personal relationship with God requires an effort on your part. Men, you cannot get a close relationship with the Lord through your wife. Wives, you cannot get a close relationship with the Lord through your husband. Amen? It's mano a mano. It's you and the Lord. Amen? In other words, you have to seek and go after God. And I'll tell you, There's nothing more rewarding, nothing more fulfilling, nothing more important in our lives than having a close relationship with the Lord. And the reason this world, the reason our society, and even the reason that some churches look the way they do is because they have disconnected from the living God and His holy word. So man's greatest need in 2024 isn't a better job. It's not a more fulfilling career. It isn't even more money or bigger and better stuff. Man's and woman's, I don't want to leave you women out. Man and women's greatest need is to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Are you with me? Yes. Amen. That's my introduction. So let's begin here in John chapter 3. And I'm going to show you these things in the scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. We'll start there and then we'll go on with what the Lord's given me. John chapter 3, verse number 14. And as Moses, this is Jesus speaking, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, underline that in your Bible, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then this is a very familiar passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, again, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice he says, whoever believes in him. Amen. And whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? I'm glad you asked. We know from our previous studies that everlasting life doesn't just mean we're going to get to live forever. How many of you know that? How many of you know everyone is going to live forever? Some of us are going to live forever in heaven, and then there's going to be those who live forever in that other place. And we're not going there, right? Amen. So we all know we're going to live forever. Therefore, having everlasting life has to have a deeper meaning. First, it says we have everlasting life. Not you're going to get it. Not you got to do anything for it. But you have it if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Amen? We have it right now. If you're born again and following Jesus' commandments, you have everlasting life. We do a disservice to this scripture. All the scriptures, matter of fact, that carry God's promises to us. We do a disservice to those scriptures when we put everything off into the the sweet by and by. Put it off into the future when we get to heaven. No, God wants you blessed right now. Everything that God has to offer is for right now. Amen? Amen. Anybody give me a check mark? Praise the Lord. And if you do that, if you put everything off to the future, you're not going to get a revelation of this message. You got to think in today. You're not promised tomorrow. How many of you know that? So everything's for today. So everything I'm preaching to you today and teaching today is for today. Amen. And then you carry it on into tomorrow if the Lord tarries. See, everlasting life in the Greek speaks of an ongoing, perpetual relationship with the Father. That's what the phrase means. Jesus said, right now, you, me, and all Christians have an ongoing, perpetual, intimate relationship with God if that's what we want. Should have got at least one amen. You see, Jesus' birth was not only for the beginning of God's fulfilling his promise on this earth. Jesus said in verse 14, he said, just like Moses was lifted up, he would have to be lifted up for all mankind. How many of you remember that from our Christmas program? Amen. He had to be lifted. He had to be born to go to the cross, right? Amen. His purpose was not just to save you. How many of you know that? His purpose was not just to take away your sin. His purpose was not just to heal you and deliver you. His purpose was to bring us life eternal. For you and I to fellowship with God forever, starting right now today. Amen? His purpose for being sent to this earth was to breach the gap between God and man and bring all who truly believe in him back into fellowship with God. Amen. Does he take away our sins or the sins of a believer? Absolutely. Because sin is the obstacle. He took sin away because sin is the obstacle that keeps people separated from God. Yeah. Not only then, but right now too. Everybody needs to write that down. Sin will keep you separated from fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Just like when Adam and Eve sinned against God, what happened? What happened in a garden? They were separated from God. They were put out of the garden. The Holy Ghost left them. When God created them, he filled them. When he breathed into them, he breathed his Holy Spirit into them. When they fell, the Holy Spirit left them. Amen. He didn't leave the earth, but he left the inside of them. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then for the next 4,000 years, the Holy Spirit would come on men of old and prophets and the leaders of God's holy people. He would come on them for God, if he had a word for them. Amen? Amen. But he no longer dwelled in them. Then Jesus came, praise God. And the Holy Spirit returned. And then Jesus walked this earth for the time he did, three and a half years. And when he left, he said, I've got to go away, but I'm going to send you a helper. And he's going to come in and live with you. Just like he did with Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve. He's going to live with you. And he'll bring you into all truths if you will allow him to. Hallelujah. Jesus came to earth, paid the price for sin, praise God. And he brought man and God back together into fellowship, into close personal fellowship. Jesus' sole purpose, listen to me, of coming to this earth was to heal our relationship with God Almighty. Our sole purpose, and you need to remember this, our sole purpose on this earth is to pursue that relationship. You were created to fellowship with God. Amen. And I'm going to show you that more in the scriptures. To be turning to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Say amen when you're there. It says in verse number 1, it says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Look at this. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. How many of you know God has given every man and woman and child on this planet to Jesus? How many of you know not everybody's walking in what they got? Amen. He says, I'm going to bless everybody you have given me. And then he said in verse 3, and this is eternal life. This phrase eternal life carries the same Greek meaning as the word everlasting life in John chapter 3. So he's talking about you, me, and all Christians having a close personal relationship with God himself. Amen. We know that by the next verse, or the last part of this, verse 3. He says, and this is eternal life. Now watch this. That they may what? Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God and your Lord and Savior. Can you say amen to that? So Jesus is defining eternal life and everlasting life as a relationship that we can have with God today. in this life. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if they got this translation or not, but I found a new translation. It's called The Voice. And this translation in that verse 2 and 3, I really like this, said, because you have given me total authority over all humanity, I have come bearing the plentiful gifts of God. Hallelujah. And all who receive me will experience everlasting life. A new intimate relationship with you. Hallelujah. The only one and only true God, and Jesus the Anointed One, the one you have sent. Isn't that good? I'm going to read that again. Because you have given me total authority over humanity, I have come bearing the plentiful gifts of God, and all who receive me will experience everlasting life, which is a new intimate relationship with you, the one true God, and with Jesus the Anointed One that you have sent. So Jesus, in these scriptures, is telling you and I that in the coming year of 2024, listen to me, our most important priority in this life should not be what we accomplish, but who we know. And that he knows us. There's a scripture in the Bible that I use sometimes, and the Lord's just putting it on my heart. There's two things that Jesus will say to people who go to heaven or want to go to heaven. He's either going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, depart me, for I never knew you. I didn't mean to point at you, sister. I never had a relationship with you. Amen? Amen. That's kind of like Jake when he said that about working out. He looked straight at me. I didn't know why. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us that our most important priority is that we should know him. Amen? Amen. So let me ask you this question. Don't raise your hand, but do you know him? I didn't say, do you know about him? See, you can come to church and you can listen to good sermons, and you can listen to good sermons on the radio. You can watch people on TV and get all the word there is and not know Jesus Christ personally. Amen. That's just the truth of the matter. So do you know him? Coming to church will teach you about him, but you have to pursue him. Turn to your neighbor and you say, you got to pursue him to get him. Amen. You got to pursue him to get him. You got to pursue him to really get to know him. To have that personal relationship with God, listen to me, where you know him as well as he knows you. Like Jesus said in verse 23 of the same chapter, John 17:23. This is how he describes the way we should be. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Isn't that good? Yeah. Amen. My brothers and sisters, these are words about relationship. So the birth of Jesus and his inevitable trip to the cross was for more than just to pay the price for our sins. The most important thing Jesus' birth did was send him to that cross where he died and then was resurrected. And what he did when that happened, he restored mankind's relationship with God Almighty. Yet many Christians, none in here, none watching by live stream, but many Christians go days, weeks, months, even years without having a close relationship with God. Not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying they're not really fellowshipping with God on a daily basis. They're not working on getting to know God more personally, when really that was God's sole intention for creating them. Your purpose is to walk with God every minute, every second, every day of your life, walking with him. Can you say amen? Amen. See, God, his sole intention for our creation is he wanted a family. He's a family man. How many of you know that? Yes. Amen. Well, for those who didn't raise your hand, get to know him and you'll know it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, he created me to be a son, not the son. That's Jesus's title, but a son. As a matter of fact, he created us all to be sons and daughters. Amen. Romans 8:14 tells us that. Just write it down. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many who are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." You can read it like this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for your cooperation. I'm going to go back to page one. So you and I, my brothers and sisters, are sons and daughters of God because that's what he created us to be. He did not create Brother Jason to be a mechanic, even though Jason is a mechanic. Amen. He did not create Brother Thomas to be a land developer, even though Brother Thomas is a land developer. He did not create Brother Ed to be a home builder and a carpenter, even though that's what Brother Ed is. Amen. He created them. Those are all roles that we play. He didn't create me to be a pastor. He created me to worship him and fellowship with him in everything I do, whether I'm up here in this pulpit or at home, driving in the car, wherever we are, our purpose, everybody say, my purpose is to fellowship with my Heavenly Father. That is my sole purpose. I have a role, but that's not my purpose. Amen. Now start living that. Amen. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. I'm preaching me happy. God's sole purpose for creating us, you and me, was to have a fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians 1:9, write that scripture down, says we are all called. You are called into fellowship with the Lord. Amen? See, it's not about religion or just going to church. In my younger years, I was actually turned off by religious people and religion. Why? Because they taught more about traditions of men and what is acceptable to the crowd to keep people from leaving the church than they did about preaching about Jesus and the commandments of the Lord. You see, when I met my Savior in 1997 and he said I could have a personal relationship with him through God's word, my brothers and sisters, that began to change my whole life. And it will change yours as well. Thank you. You see, Jesus became my source of forgiveness. He became my source of comfort. He became my source of joy. He became my source of peace. He became my source of total victory on this earth. In other words, Jesus, who is the living word of God, became my source for everything. And if you'll give him your life this morning, totally, and go all in for him, he'll give you the same thing. You want all that list I just gave you? Give your life to God. I'm not talking about just confessing him as your Savior. Make him your Lord. Amen. Make him your Lord. If you do that, you'll find him to be a loving God. A God that wants to have a personal relationship even with you. You'll find a God that don't remember your past, but I will always speak of your future, of your today and your future. Amen. You'll find a God who wants to be closer to you than any natural person on this planet can be. And he's standing right there with his arms wide open, waiting for all born again Christians to make that move towards him and for them to pursue that close relationship with their Heavenly Father. But way too often, we see people's lives filled with all kinds of excuses. Don't shout me down now. Well, you know, Pastor, we've got all this to do. There's a ball game to go to. I got to take my kids to soccer practice. So many things to do on Sundays other than go to church. After all, you do preach the same thing every Sunday. We got to go here. We got to go there. Our lives is just too busy. We'll come to church next Sunday, maybe. We'll try to get there. We'll do our best, Pastor. But you understand, we have lives outside the church. No, you don't. God gave you your life. Your life is Him. Whether you're in this building or you're out there. And that's the truth of the matter. And when you get to learn, when you learn that and start practicing that, you're going to watch God move in your life in a great, mighty way. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God will let you do what you want to do. You got to want Him. You got to want Him more than anything else in your life. And He'll meet you right where you're at today. Amen. And He'll carry you forward with Him. But you got to want Him. See, and I went to church from 84 to 91. And I knew the Word of God. I taught the Word of God. I was a Sunday school teacher. But I didn't live it out there. And because I didn't live it out there, it didn't mean anything to me. I didn't really have a close relationship to Him except on Sundays and Wednesdays. Actually, back then in Full Gospel Church, it was every Wednesday and then twice on Sundays. But that was my whole relationship with Him. I have to carry the relationship out there with me. So do you. He's got to be number one. Can I get an amen?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. God will let us do what we want to do. Yet His invitation to know Him is always open to us. So it don't matter what we did today or before we came in this building, His arms are open to you right now. He's saying, come to me. Amen? Too many times we get so busy with life itself, whether it be in our jobs, in our careers, or even in the ministry, you can get too busy. You can get too busy with ministry work where you don't have a personal time with Him alone. You may say, well, my time in the ministry is with Him. No, He's talking about go in your closet, wherever that is, and get alone with Him and talk to Him like He's your Heavenly Father. See, it ain't always bad things that keeps us from having fellowship with God. But all of these things that I just mentioned can occupy our lives and our times, even to the point where we spend very little personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ and reading and studying and knowing God's Word. So then we end up living without God's answers and without His guidance because of our busyness. My brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father and His Word is, not might be, but is our only answer. Can you say amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, just write it down, says, for through Him, through who? Jesus, who is the living Word, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So through Jesus, which is the Word of God, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. John 14:6 says this. Says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Now watch this now. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you do not have access to God without getting into His Word. Amen. Jesus is the way, but the destination is the Father. See, it's all about relationship. Are you with me this morning? I'll say it again. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more needful, nothing is more fulfilling, and nothing is more rewarding than having a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. Absolutely nothing this world has to offer is better. Not your fame, not fortune, not notoriety, not more money, not more stuff, not bigger and better everything. Yeah. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. Your greatest need in life is to know the living God. Every day, seeking God first. Every day, walking with Him. Every day, talking to God. And then more importantly, listening to what He tells you. He said, I'll lead and guide you into all truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is quit doing that. Sometimes the truth is quit saying that. Sometimes the truth is quit putting other things before me. Amen. Every day turning to Him for our guidance and our answers. Every day worshiping Him and glorifying Him with our lives. Every day, everybody say every day. Every day going all in for Him because He went all in for you. Amen. He gave it all. He sent His only begotten Son to earth to die for me and to die for you. To take away all my past sins. And when I repent and ask for forgiveness, He takes away all my future sins. But I have to repent and I have to turn back to Him. Amen? Going all in for Him because He goes all in for us. It's getting to that place in your life where you say, Father, I really want to know You better. I really want to walk with You and be closer to You every day. I really want You to be in every part of my life. In other words, Father, from this moment on, I'm putting You first in my life. After all, that's exactly what Jesus commanded us to do. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things, fame, fortune, notoriety, everything that you want, any kind of stuff you want will be added to you. Amen? Amen. I'm led by the Spirit right now to read something to you. Hallelujah. If I can get this thing to work. I have to get my technician up here. But this is what I'm talking about right here. I won't mention this person's name, even though they're sitting in this building this morning. But I got this text. And this is what it's all about. This is why I spend time studying the Word and bringing you the Word that God brings me. He says, good morning and blessings this Saturday. It is possible to harden your heart to the extent that you shrivel your soul, depriving your inner spirit from producing the good fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is incredible how quickly greed and lust for the material things of this world will deprive your soul. When I used to drink, I lived with a constant need for more material things. Every time I got to the bottom of the bottle, those demons would start telling me I wasn't good enough for that fancy new truck, or not smart enough for that job, or not a good enough husband, father, or person. And I was always pursuing more from the world. Listen to this. The Bible warns against neglect of the soul. And I can testify to the effects in this world. Mark 8:36-37, New Living Translation says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? When I made the decision, to change my chooser and start feeding my inner spirit with the Word of God, the desires for the things of this world subsided. Now my whole appetite is for the things of God, and my soul thirsts for His righteousness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's fellowshipping with the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to try to find my place in my notes now, but I had to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. See, too many Christians spend most of their time going after the things instead of going after the Creator of all things.
All right.
And I need you to listen to me. We need to ask ourselves, what do we spend most of our time thinking on every day? How much of our thinking process do we really give to the things of God? Do we go to Him and His Word for our answers in life? Or do we trust in and lean on our own understanding? How much time do we give to developing our own personal relationship with the God that created us? Are we cooperating with God? Are we obeying God in His Word? Or are we just going through the motions? I'll tell you, how close are we to God that we truly hear His voice? If you're not hearing God's voice, you're not close enough to Him, because He's always talking to you. Amen. He's always talking to us. He wants to be a part of every one of our lives. And listen, I believe we're all progressing in this area like this person right here. Or at least we all should be. My brothers and sisters, we should never, ever, ever, ever be satisfied with just being born again and going to heaven. Why? Because the greatest blessing of our salvation is not just making sure we have our fire insurance. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not just making sure that we have our ticket to heaven and we've punched our boarding pass for the rapture. Amen. No, my brothers and sisters, the greatest part of our salvation plan is our relationship with the Lord our God. Are you with me this morning? Praise God. Y'all excuse me. Hallelujah. Bless me.
Yeah.
And encourage me.
Yeah.
For me to do more. Amen. I told someone this morning, one of the brothers came up to me and said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? He said, I noticed, man, on Sunday mornings when I see you, you just seem awful intense and awful kind of just set back. Is everything okay in your life? And I explained to him, yeah. And here's what it is, brother. God has even told me as the pastor of this church that I need to spend more time with Him, that I need to meditate on His Word more and more and more and more, and I need to read His Word more and more and more, and I need to pray more and more and more. In this coming year, God is going to truly bless those who step into His throne room and spend time with Him. That's what He's told me. Amen. So I'm going to keep bringing the same message, and that's what I told him this morning. Brother, I don't ever mean to be rude with anybody, but you got to understand from now on until the rapture, when I come in on this Sunday morning, I may listen to you and I may fellowship with you, but I may not hear it, but every other word you say, because my mind is on God. Amen. And I won't apologize for that, because that's where my Heavenly Father wants me. Amen. I'll always be polite. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's be turning over to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And I want you to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, who, by the way, as my wife noted this morning, was one of the richest men in the Bible. So if you're going after things, listen up. Ecclesiastes number chapter 12, verse number 13. Excuse me. Pay attention to these words of Solomon. He said in verse 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, isn't that something?
All right.
After all that Solomon accomplished in his life, The most important thing he could tell anyone following here was pay attention to the conclusion of this whole matter. Listen to what he says. He says, fear God. That's reverent. That's reverent fear. That's not fear him like he's got a fly swatter going to hit you with it, even though some of us need it. It says, fear God and keep what? His commandments. Look at this. For this is man's all. Isn't that something? This is man's all. You need to get a hold of that. This is women's all too. Fear God and do his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, do my commandments. So how could anybody who says, yeah, I love Jesus. Well, no, I don't even know any of the commandments. Just saying. Hallelujah. The Amplified brings this out even more because of many of the words in the Amplified Bible are the original Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. Many of those words are amplified. Amen. So listen closely to these words. Matter of fact, you might want to write these down. The Amplified Bible in verse 13 says, all has been heard, and the end of the matter is this. Fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation. Look at that. The object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty, everybody say duty, the whole duty for every man, and I added, and every woman. Now notice in this scripture, he is talking about you and me fearing God, reverencing God, worshiping God, and knowing that he is. In other words, having a close personal relationship with him. And he also is talking about you and I keeping God's commandments. And then he says, for this is. Now watch this. These are all the purposes of keeping God's commandments. This is the original purpose of your creation. This is the object of God's providence. This is the root of God's character in you. You cannot have God's character in you if you don't follow his word. Amen. And then he says, this is the foundation of all happiness. Listen, happiness isn't measured by having more notoriety, more money, more stuff. Those things are all temporal. I mean, you know, there's not going to be any U-Hauls going to heaven. What brings true joy, true peace, and lasting happiness, is walking in the light of God's word. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's what happens when you snivel like a baby. Hallelujah. But I won't apologize for it. Look at this next one. This is the one all of us should be looking at. Keeping God's commandments, look at this, is the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. How many of you have ever had inharmonious circumstances in your life? Everybody needs to raise your hand so we don't have to just stop and have an altar call for liars. We've all had inharmonious things happen in our life, right? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're not going to stop. How many of you know there's still a devil? How many of you know until we're raptured, we're going to have to put up with that rat? You need to know how to put up with him and how to keep him under your feet. So he's saying when these inharmonious circumstances, say that three times real fast. When these inharmonious circumstances and conditions do come our way, we do not lean on our own carnal understanding to get us through or to work things out. But instead, we trust God and go to his word for our answers. Can you say amen? And finally, keeping God's commandments is our duty. It is the duty of every man and every woman, my brothers and sisters. Knowing the world and the things of this world will give you a successful livelihood. But only knowing God and the ways of God will give you everlasting life. So man's greatest need, according to Solomon, is not wealth. It isn't riches. It isn't fame and notoriety. Those will all pass away. Man's greatest need is to have a relationship with the Lord. That's about the 10th or 15th time I've said that. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Have a little. we have to have a better relationship with the Lord. Why? Because that's the only thing that's going to get us through to the end. Amen. And let me tell you this. It is a process. So don't let the devil condemn you if you ain't where I'm saying we all should be today. I've set the goal high, but start where you're at and move toward the goal. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we'll see that in Philippians chapter 3. Man, that was a good segue, and I didn't even know I was saying that. See, in Philippians chapter 3, you can be turning there. Paul best describes the process of developing a strong, close personal relationship with the Lord. And even though I want you to mark it in your Bible, I am going to save a little time and read it out of the Amplified. So just look at the monitors. And let's pay attention. Give close attention to Paul's words. Because this is what's going on. This is what going all in for God really looks like. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. And by the way, this is the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. A pretty smart dude. But he came out of a religious sect that actually killed the Christians in the beginning. That's back when his name was Saul instead of Paul. But pay attention to his words, because this is what going all in for God is. How many of you know what day he went all in for God? Everybody say, on the road to Damascus. Hallelujah. I think every born-again Christian ought to have a road to Damascus experience with God Almighty and get knocked off your beast of pride. Amen, because that's what it was. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, and the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively, everybody say progressively, and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understand him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuge, and dregs in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One, and that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can only be called my own based on my own obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God which comes from God by saving faith. Look at verse 10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person, and even more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power, hallelujah, the power overflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers and that I may so share his sufferings as to continually be transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope, amen, that if possible, I may attain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while I'm in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on. Everybody say press on. I press on to lay hold of and grasp and make my own that which is Christ Jesus, the Messiah. I'm going to read that again. I may lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. Verse 13, I know it's a long read, just hang on. I'm going somewhere with it. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Wow. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Amen. Notice in these last two verses, Paul says, I do not consider that I have captured and made it my own yet. In other words, Paul is saying, I haven't arrived. And we can all say the same thing. We have not arrived, right? Anybody in here arrived? No, we're on our way, right? But watch what he says next. But this one thing I do, not think about doing, not trying to do, not maybe I'll do it. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I move forward to what lies ahead. In other words, Paul says he forgets his past failures. That's what that young man did in this text. He's talked about his past failures, but then he forgot about them and added God's word. We always need to put a but God on the end of everything we say. Amen? He says, he forgets his past failures, that he forgets all the times that he fell short of God's glory. How many of you know what the word forgetting in the Greek means? Very few of us. I didn't either, so I'm going to read it to you. It means to loose it from your mindset. To loose from your mindset by not giving attention to whatever it is you need to let go of. In other words, stop thinking about things that bother you. Forget those situations, those circumstances, and your past failures that Satan will constantly remind you of. How many of you know he's the accuser? How many of you know when you start moving forward in Christ, he's going to come against you in every way he can? That's his job. So we have to do what the Bible says, and we need to keep him under our feet. We do that with the words we say. Amen? Amen. Stop giving your attention to the past situations. How do I do that, Pastor? Stop talking about them. Stop talking about them. And then do what Paul says in verse 14. He says, press on. Press on toward the goal to win the prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling you upward. You need to press on in your life. You need to forget about your past failures. You need to, when the devil starts reminding you of it, y'all say, no, you don't, devil. Get thee behind me. I'm not that person anymore. The greater one lives on the inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I come against you in the name of Jesus and command you to get yourself back under my feet. And that's where you're going to stay. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Press on. Well, how do we press forward, Pastor? Glad you asked. I got the answers up here, guys. It's a word. Turn the page to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Excuse me. And we'll read from verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Look at this. Isn't this wisdom? Be anxious for nothing. How many of you had anxiety in your life? Two of us. No, three of us. Okay. I'm going to give you another opportunity because God knows the answer. How many of you ever had anxiety in your life? Come on, guys. This moves a whole lot faster with crowd participation. Oh, my goodness. I got to find out where I'm at now. Praise the Lord. Four, that's right. Verse number six. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now watch this. What happens if you'll do that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus or through his written word. Amen. Amen. God will guard your heart and your mind through the written word. Why is that so important? Why do you need to guard your heart? Y'all may not can hear him, but he's saying, because, Pastor, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. You need to use God's word to guard your heart. Amen? Verse number 8. Finally, I know that's the word y'all like to hear. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, which means to think, meditate on these things. I want to speak as your pastor. In other words, keep your mind and your mouth on the things of God. Listen to me. There is no way you or I will ever move forward in our relationship with God if we don't let go of our past and quit putting a voice to all the negative thoughts that Satan brings us. Are you hearing me? You got to put a voice against those thoughts. Amen. I'll close with these thoughts. What are we going to do? We're going to forget about the past and what? Press on. Amen? This is so good. How many of you know in every automobile, directly in front of the driver's seat, there's a steering wheel which determines the direction of travel? There is a windshield. And then mounted on that windshield in most vehicles is a little bitty mirror. It's called a rear view mirror. Do you actually know why the windshield is so much bigger than the rear view mirror? All right, I knew you was going getting it. Because what's in front of you and the direction you're going is far more important than where you've been and the things you're leaving behind. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, please get a hold of this message this morning. Always expect to leave this spiritual hospital better than you were when you came in. Today, you and I have witnessed in the scriptures that Jesus said it in the book of John. Solomon said it in the book of Ecclesiastes. Paul said it to the church of Philippi. And now on December 31st, the last day of 2023, Pastor John is telling us all that's hearing this message this morning, whether in this room or watching by live stream, I am saying the same thing. Your greatest need for 2024 And really, until you finish your race in this life, is to continue developing a close personal relationship with God Almighty through your Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Let's all stand and give God some praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know most of you don't like to raise your hands, but I want you to do so anyway, so everybody close your eyes so nobody can see you. Close your eyes so you can't see anybody looking at you. I want you to thank God for this word this morning. Just tell him, thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for this message for 2024. Hallelujah. Do you realize how much God loves you and me? How much he loves this church by bringing us messages that will nurture us and help us to grow to know him better? Praise God. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're just going to close out. I don't know everybody in this room, but I know everybody in this room needs more of God in their lives. So if you're willing to submit your life this morning, I'm putting this all on you. If you're willing to submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and do more on your part to know him better, if that's you and you want to do that, raise your hand and put it right back down. Praise God. God sees all those hands. I believe everybody in this room raised their hand. I know a lot of people by live stream did. Repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I have heard your word. I believe the word is Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for me and give me life. Give me everlasting life. Therefore, I know I'll be with him forevermore. Jesus, help me. Give me more of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me in what you would have me do. I ask this and I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. How many of you are next in line for your miracle? Amen. Everybody needs to raise your hand. Hey, you can't get nothing from God if you don't just... I'm always the first one to throw my hand up. I am me, Father, first. I'm first. How many of you know you're all first in God's eyes? Amen. But we always close out our services by saying we serve a miracle-working God. And you are always next in line for your miracle. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.